back into another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoff from C70 at the Bat, and with me is Tara Wellman from Bird Seeds and Bird Tales. And hopefully, when Tara gets done with basketball, we can get some more bird seeds on the YouTubes. Do you think that's possible, Tara?
It is definitely a possibility. I've got a few ideas in mind, and as soon as I have the time to match the ideas, we might actually be able to get something up there. We'll see.
Well, get through this basketball stuff that you're having to deal with, and we can, you know, focus on baseball and the important stuff. As we were talking before the show started, this is going to be very informed. It's also not going to be words that we know, because Tara and I have yet to see a little bit of baseball this week. None. We have not watched the Cardinals at all this week. We're going to give you fair warning on that. And everything we know comes from the articles and descriptions and accounts of this game that were not prohibited by Major League Baseball. Tara, let's start with the pitching staff. I know Adam Wainwright went today. He threw four innings scoreless. Michael Wacha has looked very, very good so far. It feels to me that if this team's going to do anything, it's got to get back a little bit to that pitching and defense. You know, it's going to have to hit, but it's going to need the pitching to do that. And so far, it's looking pretty good.
Absolutely. I mean, this isn't a team that necessarily has the big three in the middle of the order that are going to, you know, strike fear into the heart of any pitching staff that they face. They've got a good, solid group. And believe me, I love the prospect of Fowler, Diaz, Carpenter, Piscotty at the top of the order, but it doesn't quite have the firepower that's going to be the thing that carries this team. That's been the pitching for this team and for this organization for a long time, and I think it needs to continue to be. So to see good outings from Mike Leake, from Michael Wacha, from Adam Wainwright, to see that Carlos Martinez is still doing Carlos Martinez things in the World Baseball Classic, I mean, those are all things that point to a really strong start. You know, I've said this before, and I will probably continue to say it as it pertains to Michael Wacha. I'm not worried about the first 2 months of Michael Wacha. You know, the first 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 starts, that's great. I'm worried about second half Michael Wacha. So it's a little bit premature, I think, to be really excited about what we're seeing with this Cardinals pitching staff, but I don't think it's too early to say that we are seeing some really strong signs, some really good things out of guys like Wacha and Leake. Seeing Lynn back out there on the mound at all is a good thing, I think, for the potential of this rotation. And even with the injuries, significant ones like that of Reyes, there's still a really solid looking group out there that are going to put together a starting rotation that should be strong. We always caveat everything we say in the spring, whether we've seen a lot of the action ourselves or not, with its spring training, so it doesn't really matter. But I think for the pitching staff, it really does, because we're getting a look at not just whether or not they're healthy, but as it relates to Adam Wainwright, whether or not he's got a little bit of that extra zip back, whether it's behind his fastball or the last little sharpness of the break on his curveball, which apparently has had a lot to do with changing up or going back to an old curveball grip. So you see some of those things in the spring that lead you to the more positive conclusions than I think maybe what we saw last year, especially out of Adam Wainwright. And that can only be a good thing at this point, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. Adam Wainwright going to learn his curveball grip from Adam Wainwright, finding an old tutorial that he did with...
not a bad place to learn
You know, if you don't like the teacher, then you got problems, I guess. it does feel like, and he, like I said, he used it again today, and felt a lot better with it. And that was the big thing it felt like with Wainwright last year, is the curveball just... It either sat in the middle of the plate and got hit, or it wasn't anywhere close to the strike, and so batters didn't really have to fear it like they have in the past. You know, if he can get that back, that's just, I mean, it puts him much closer to the Wainwright we're used to. Again, I don't think anybody expects him to be contending for the Cy Young, except for probably himself. But they should be a lot better. I think the thing with Wacha, You know, last year he did have a good April, had an ERA of around 3, although some of the numbers that go along with that were kind of iffy and may probably kind of indicated that not everything was as hunky-dory as it might have looked. But, you know, from what I'm hearing on, you know, I think it was maybe Derek Gould's podcast, they're talking about him being able to, you know, put the fastball low in the zone, and that allows the changeup to be much more effective. And that was, again, that's what I felt like his problem was last year. They wouldn't chase the changeup because it never was anywhere close. It had no reason to. If all that's come, you know, and if strengthening, the strengthening of the shoulder and stuff seems to have allowed him to finish his pitches better, you know, if all that's true, and like you say, it's spring training, we don't know, but that's definitely a good indication that, at least for while he is healthy, Michael Wacha is going to be much more effective than he was last year. And, you know, it's hard to remember that he was, you know, he had some good moments last year. But this year he's got a chance to put it all together. It's just a rotation that right now you're excited about to some degree. And, couldn't say that all the time last year.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's not really a rotation that's all that different than what we saw last year. And in fact, other than sliding in Lance Lynn as opposed to Jaime Garcia, you're really looking at the same guys. But you're looking at guys that are in different positions. Adam Wainwright's not coming off of the Achilles injury that really, even until after the All-Star break, he was still saying, that the rehab and recovery process up until that point was still affecting the way that he was able to do work, in between starts, as well as, you know, just sort of the overall approach to his pitching mechanics. You know, you're looking at a Michael Wacha who's had yet another season of trying to figure out how to deal with this, this shoulder situation. And while I tend to worry about that, perhaps more than some who have watched him and noticed how strong he looks just overall, this is a guy that was absolutely remarkable in his first year in the major leagues. I mean, the game against the Pirates, the whole postseason against the Pirates was unlike anything that I remember seeing, out of a guy that young and that much, that quickly pushed into the spotlight. But you're right. With him, it was always that downward plane, terminology, that sort of motion. And we didn't see that from him last year. So all of that to say, it's the same rotation in many regards, but at the same time, it looks very different at this point this season than it did at this point last season in the spring. And say what you want about, you know, 3 innings at the most in spring training at this point, but it's definitely, I think, a step in the right direction, not only with the pitching, but also with the defense that we've seen that may in turn make the pitching look a lot better as well with where they are at this point in the spring.
Yeah, everything has seemed to be at a level that they get you excited about what the season is going to be. And the Cardinals have won a lot of their games this week. They've actually tied both their games this weekend, but you know, I was following along. I guess I didn't get to watch it, but I did follow the eighth or ninth inning of the game on Saturday, and it was almost already to the point where you kind of expected a comeback. You kind of expected them to do something, and sure enough, they did put a run on the board and tie the ball game up. And it's a nice feeling to be a little bit optimistic. And if you're not in spring, I guess it's a bad thing, but it does feel like this team might be a little bit better than we thought. Had some pitching issues, though, of course, today. The Cardinals wound up with a 9-9 tie, and when Adam Wainwright has a pretty good start, you know that meant the bullpen kind of got torched around. Jordan Schaefer was one of those guys, leaving the game with a forearm soreness after giving up a few runs. I've always been kind of very, very surprised at how much attention Jordan Schaefer is getting because of this idea that he can do the outfield and the pitching staff. I never really bought into him being able to do that because, you know, there's a reason he wasn't an outfielder. He wasn't able to hit. I don't know. We kind of talked about it some last time, but I mean, what were your thoughts on Schaefer? And do you think that there's any way he can overcome what he's dealt with today?
Well, I'd like to formally apologize to Jordan Schaefer for bringing any sort of attention to him on the field after last week, because almost immediately after the fact, he started having some issues with this forearm tightness, which, you know, everyone tries to downplay anytime you hear forearm tightness and say that it's not really a big deal. And then inevitably it turns into a pretty big deal. So Jordan Schaefer, you know, if you're listening, because everyone listens to this show, my apologies for the jinx. But no, I think my fascination with the story was really based on potential. I think that any indication that Jordan Schaefer would make the team out of the spring, or that this whole two-way player thing would actually work, was really only potential at this point. There's no real track record for it happening enough to be anything more than kind of a dream scenario. I love the story in and of itself, but I think that his ticket to the big leagues is going to be as a pitcher. And at this point, he's not been able to put that together this spring for the Cardinals. So as much as it would be a great story, and I think it would be, just from a creative standpoint, a really interesting tool to have, as a manager, again, even when I mentioned it last week, I love the idea. I'm a little bit terrified of how Mike Matheny would try to use it. You know, there's part of me that thinks it would be a really interesting addition to a game strategy at some point if you did in fact have the player that could pull it off. But you know, it's one of those things that there's always some crazy story in the spring, maybe not quite to this extent, but it's a great story until it's not. And that's kind of where we are at this point with Jordan Schaefer.
Yeah, it kind of feels like it. And, it, you know, it's going to be one of those guys that you would never see him used in the way that we thought that he would be used. You know, I mean, he would probably wind up, like you said, only pitching this year. He might get to pinch hit a little bit more often than you would expect a pitcher, but for the most part, he'd just be another pitcher. I feel like that's the case. I know they talked a lot about the flexibility, and I guess there was that option, but, you know, you wouldn't have to stick somebody else out there in extra innings or something like that. But I just don't feel like it would be used as effectively as it would be. And again, with the forearm, like you said, he didn't say it was much. He thought there was fine, but he's just using the arm too much with pitching and everything. You're right. And forearm stiffness tends to wind up being Tommy John surgery within just a few months, it seems like. So that's a hard road to overcome. But let's talk about somebody that has overcome a little bit. This time last week, I think a lot of us had written off Matt Adams, who's hitting like 120. Now he's up to almost 300. Hit another home run today, so he's got three, which puts him in a tie for the lead, the team lead. He struck out, I want to say, six of his first eight times or something this spring. So he has 11 strikeouts, but overall, it feels like he's finally getting into his rhythm, if you will. I don't know what that means with Carpenter out, if it means anything, but it's kind of nice to see the not so big man putting something together.
Yeah, you know, I think it will be interesting. The challenge for Matt Adams is always going to be how he hits against lefties. I mean, that seems to be the one piece of the puzzle that just doesn't change. Even when the coaching staff will come out and say, you know, he's made progress, he looked really good, he's taking good swings, he's made some adjustments, all of that sounds great, but it doesn't necessarily play out in the stat sheet the way that they would like you to believe that it does. So it's good to see him out there. It's good to see him getting some of those big hits. And truly, even if he isn't the everyday kind of guy because of the lefty-righty splits, he provides a really powerful option as a bench player if he can, in fact, regain some of that power and some of the consistency that we have seen from him at times over the course of his career. With Matt Carpenter dealing with this back stiffness slash oblique possible injury that's not really an injury yet, but they don't want it to become one. It does give Matt Adams a little bit more credibility. It gives him more of a role on this team. I think we talked about last week the fact that he's kind of the player without a position because of the depth that they do have on the infield at this point and the way that they're trying to use the personnel that they have to maximize the athleticism and the defense, as well as not taking away from the offensive power that was a bit of a surge for them last year. So I am hesitant to buy into the Matt Adams idea as someone who's going to make major contributions to this team, but I do think that no matter what his role is, whether it's with the Cardinals or as a player that eventually gets flipped for pitching or for, you know, depth somewhere else, it's only good, it only does good things for this team if Matt Adams kind of puts it together. So, you know, if they can expose him less to left-handed pitching and maybe pad the stats a little bit by putting him in a position to succeed, then that's great for him and for the team in whatever role they end up giving him.
Yeah, and it was notable this week that I believe a lefty started, and the Cardinals did not start Matt Adams.
Right.
And then as soon as the pitcher was pulled for a righty, he came into the game. You can only do that so many times, obviously, in the spring. But it will help, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's just seen a good steady diet of righties, but it's nice to see the power still there, even with his loss of weight. And I think he's showing something, and you're right. It may be that he's showing some other team, that he can play on and play on a regular basis. Because with Matt Carpenter, he's not going to get that opportunity here, but, it's good to see, I think, just in general. Now, talking about Carpenter, we'll talk a little bit about this. Carpenter still having those oblique injuries. Like you said, they're trying to make sure it doesn't turn into an injury, because if it's a Cardinal, it probably will. But instead, they're sending him out there, not every day, but they have it at least a couple of times this week to play first base and then not to swing. He can take his at-bats and track pitches, as it were, and not to swing. It obviously is medically okay because they're doing it. But it seems like, it just feels like more of a risk than is really necessary, doesn't it?
It does. I think I can see this two ways. On the one hand, because I feel like we so often hear of physical issues that are, quote, not a big deal, that then turn into weeks off the field, we're all a little bit hesitant to assume that putting him out there in any capacity with some limitations physically is a good idea. But at the same time, I think that we, again, mentioned this last week, Matt Carpenter is the kind of guy that needs to be working. He needs to be putting in the hours. He may not be the most naturally gifted first baseman. Even the other times in his career that he's changed position, when he went from third base to second base and then back to third base, when he learned how to be a second baseman, he had to put in a lot of work to learn to be a second baseman. And when he did, he was an all-star at the position. So I think to some degree, he probably feels like there's a transition that needs to happen for him defensively from knowing how to be a good first baseman to putting into practice all the things that he's worked on, all the drills that he's done over the offseason in game situations. And I can understand that. I guess if it's the swing that tweaks his back a little bit at this point and not the fielding, then, you know, we can only take him for his word as far as whether or not that's true, and let him get the work in that he needs so that he's not behind when he is capable and physically ready to go back to, you know, swinging at 100%. So I understand the concern and the hesitance to trust the fact that this is a good idea. But at the same time, I also think that Matt Carpenter is the kind of player that is going to be better off in the long run if he gets the repetitions in game situations so that he's not overthinking it when he's on the field.
And that's fair. I mean, that's probably right. And you're, you know, again, it's one of those things, if it's medically cleared, then it's probably okay. You just, it feels weird when the guy can't do that. It just brings back Grichuk in the outfield again.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of memories, and you just don't want that. Cardinals have not.
I will add a caveat there though, that I think it's okay in spring training. If he still can't swing the bat come opening day, then he has no business being in the lineup at all.
If Matt Carpenter can't swing the bat by opening day, he needs to be on the disabled list. And that's, you know, good luck with that. But again, it doesn't sound like that's going to be the issue. You know, they keep talking about, you know, maybe sometime this week, I think that he might be okay, cleared and stuff like that. But if it does nag a little bit longer, then yeah, I think they need to start looking at it as something that doesn't need to be happening. Because yeah, not really what you want. Because you know Mike Matheny, he'd probably still hit him second or third. And it's, you know, if you got a second or third hitter
right.
that can't swing the bat, it's not optimal. Cardinals have not made their first round of cuts yet. That is expected to come tomorrow. It's a little late in the spring for that. I'm sure the World Baseball Classic kind of factors into that. I don't know that we'll see any names that we are familiar with go ahead and get cut yet. But looking at today's box score, Sam Tuilavala did not help himself at all with this. 4 runs in a 2/3 of an inning in the ninth, walking 2 batters as it is. You know, it felt to me like there was probably a battle between him and Sokolovich for the last bullpen spot anyway. And I know it's just one game, but that kind of game really is going to hurt his stock, I would think, don't you?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you're talking about maybe the last guy to make that roster as far as the pitching staff is concerned, you're going to be looking at guys that maybe aren't quite there yet, especially when you're talking about some of these young guys that have had their moments on the major league scene, but didn't really prove that they had the staying power yet. So for Tui, I think it's difficult because his biggest upside has always been the velocity. It's always been the fact that he can come in late in games and throw 100 miles an hour. And when he can back that up with some off-speed stuff, it's great, but he's not been able to do that consistently. And there's also that constant challenge with these young flamethrowers that really set apart the ones who become the Carlos Martinez and the Alex Reyes guys that stay on the fast track because they learn how to pitch, not just how to throw 100 miles an hour. And Tui maybe isn't quite there yet. He's not really been able to find that fine tuning, that allows him to hit his spots consistently, that allows him to utilize those off speed pitches well. And when you're fighting for that last spot on the roster, man, that's not the kind of situation you want to find yourself in, especially when you're in the running for a position in a bullpen that I think is going to have a little more flexibility as far as what the roles are and how those jobs are defined this year. He was in the mix because of the raw stuff that he has, but I don't know that he's really been able to control it well enough to earn that spot out of spring training.
Yeah, again, he has an option. Sokolovich doesn't. I mean, that's going to factor in too.
Right.
But you're right. If he could ever show he could control it, he would be in. I mean, he'd be there. And it starts to come to the time. I know he still has an option, and the Cardinals can put him in the minor leagues, and they probably will. But there does come to that point where it's like, are you ever going to get it? Is this going to be, do we need to continue to put our time and effort into this, or do we let somebody else take a crack at it? So, I don't think the Cardinals are to that point yet. I think they're still, you know, invested in Tuilavala, but I don't know that it's that far away. Trevor Rosenthal still trying to build up his arm strength. I don't know. It feels like, you know, forever ago that he was going to make that start. I guess it's only been a little bit over a week, maybe getting close to two. As much as this, you know, I know there's 3 weeks left, it's going to be very difficult for him to get up to that level that we thought we would see, I think, out of him, to be ready to go for 2-3 innings on a, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, if he can't get out there on the mound.
Yeah, you know, as we mentioned earlier, neither one of us have had a whole lot of chance to actually see what these guys have put out on the field. No one's really seen a whole lot of Trevor Rosenthal, though, to be fair. But from the sounds of things, he's still right in the mix for being that sort of multi-inning, high-leverage guy. But perhaps the way that this organization is planning to make that work is to have more than one high-leverage, multi-inning guy, which is really an interesting concept to me because it's not something that we've really seen a whole lot. We've seen the Andrew Millers. We've seen even with guys in the Cardinals organization, whether it was Trevor Rosenthal or, you know, back as far as Adam Wainwright making his way to the major leagues, guys that were that sort of guy to come in and put out a fire no matter what the inning was. And when it's used well, it can be extremely effective and it can be a huge weapon out of the bullpen that can bridge the gap to the eighth or ninth inning guy or, you know, in a situation where your starter can't quite go seven innings or whatever the case may be. So, I have from the beginning loved the idea of this for Trevor Rosenthal. I think it's going to be really important to get him in game situations, though, because it's been so long since he's done anything but pitch in the ninth inning. So, you know, this sort of pipe dream that he was going to be fighting for a spot in the starting rotation this season is certainly over as far as I'm concerned. I don't think it was particularly realistic to begin with, but with his setback and then with the success that the guys who are going to be the starters for this team have had so far, he seems to be in prime position to have that multi-inning reliever kind of role, but it's tough to know what to expect or if you can even really make that a realistic possibility for him without getting him in game situations. So, it's tough. It's been a tough spring for him to be sure. And, I'm sure he's a little disappointed with not being able to, take advantage of the conversation changing as far as him potentially, looking at a starting rotation sort of job in the future. But I think that he needs to, at this point, just embrace the possibility of this multi-inning reliever role and make sure he's healthy and then get out there and get the work done that he needs to. So time is running out, but I think he'll be okay at this point, assuming there are no further setbacks.
In the same article that they're writing about Rosenthal, this is I found a paragraph that, of course, is very interesting to me. Tyler Lyons has been cleared for game.
I wondered
action.
When you were bringing this up.
I
left it for you. Teed it up.
Look at you go. And I think that's it. I mean, obviously, we follow Tyler Lyons quite a bit at the blog. And I didn't realize, you know, we've kind of always just penciled him in as a guy that's going to be on the disabled list and maybe by the end of April would make it for a roster decision and have to come up. But, you know, they're talking right now that it's possible, although I still think kind of a little bit unlikely, he could get enough work in the next 3 weeks to open the season on the roster, which then throws a little bit of a curveball into who they keep, especially as the Cardinals have not ruled out apparently keeping 11 pitchers, although most likely would keep 12. There has a chance to be some really tough decisions, not only here, but on the hitting side with Tommy Pham and Jose Martinez and Greg Garcia, some tough decisions for Mo to make in the last week or so of spring training.
Yeah, and I was reading that same article that you're talking about, and I really love the idea of Tyler Lyons and Trevor Rosenthal both having the ability to be that guy that comes in and pitches multiple innings if necessary, but can come in high leverage situations and get really important outs. I think that before the injury last year, Tyler Lyons was so impressive in that regard because he kind of went from being this guy in the bullpen that could be an emergency starter if necessary, but wasn't necessarily someone that everyone saw a lot of a very high ceiling with, to being a guy that really was underrated, I think, in the way that the Cardinals used him last season and in the success that he did have. So I love the idea of a Trevor Rosenthal, Tyler Lyons duo in a possible multi-inning reliever kind of role. I think that that it may be a little bit wishful thinking at this point for Tyler to be ready for that at the end of camp, but if that's a possibility even a little bit later in the season, it certainly gives them some options as far as how to utilize their bullpen and how they can maybe schedule that so that they can use this sort of newly minted role for relievers in a more effective way. But in doing that, you're right. It does call into question who those last spots go to. And it makes some tough decisions as far as some of these young guys that are trying to claim a more permanent spot on a major league roster. So I think that both from a pitching standpoint and some of these position players, Memphis is going to be really fun to watch this year. I'm just going to throw that out there. Because man, these kids, I know that sometimes it's just the exposure to them that, gets us a little bit excited in the spring about what the young kids are bringing to the table. But it seems like this year there's a really solid group that maybe more so than in recent years has given fans a lot to be excited about that, we won't see on the major league roster anytime soon as far as coming out of spring training, but there's a really strong core, both on the pitching side of things as well as the position players that are going to be ready to be that first call should the big club need any help.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot of times about that gap or a hole that the minor league system has, but it feels like we're kind of coming out of that. I mean, you look at Paul DeJong, who, you know, going into the spring, we didn't actually even know how to say his name, I don't think. And now, he's the guy that has the most at bats in the spring because he's playing very well the whole time. You know, Mag Sierra is a guy that is, you know, making a case for at least
so much fun.
Oh yeah. And to be a double A starter. And, you know, again, once you get to double A, I mean, you're right there. I mean, it's not unheard of to jump, and skip triple A. You do have a lot of young guys. Patrick Wisdom is trying to kind of bring back his prospect star, and he's done a pretty good job this spring of doing that. A lot of guys that, as the season goes on, the fans are going to probably, especially if people are struggling on the big league level, are going to clamor for those guys, assuming that they are producing in the minor leagues as well as they have done here in the spring. And it also strengthens Mo's hands for trading. I mean, if those guys, you know, people have opened their eyes to those on other teams. And we've heard the story numerous times about the other coach that came to Matheny and asked if Sierra was going to make the team. I mean, other general managers are looking at what these guys are doing too, and they're going to know them and have a positive impression, at least when it comes to talking in June or July about trades, if that's what the Cardinals want to do. So, it's very interesting to see. It's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks to see how the roster shakes out and who makes those last cuts. I mean, there have been years, you know, Albert Pujols obviously is one, and Michael Walker, others, that some of those guys, those prospects they last till like the very last cut if they get cut at all.
Yeah.
And it makes it interesting to see, you know, just what the organization thinks of them to keep them around that long. All right. Well, we have gotten our 30 minutes in, but we do have a Twitter question that we need. Well, Tara needs to answer because I can't answer it. It comes from Jack Kennedy, JD Kennedy 14. And his question tonight was, which Cardinal would make the best transition to figure skating? Now, obviously, Tara covers figure skating quite a bit in her job and is a very knowledgeable expert in this. So Tara, which Cardinal can you see lacing up the skates?
You know, it's so funny to me. I see very little crossover in my two worlds of baseball and figure skating, to the extent that I'm sure many people who follow my main Twitter account, at Tara Wellman, also know that I have a skating-specific one, because the reality is most baseball people don't want to hear about figure skating, and most figure skating people don't really want to hear about baseball. So I try to keep the two separate, but I love the crossover here. So thanks, Jack, for the question. His guess would be Carlos Martinez, which I think would be interesting. I think though that I would have to go with Colton Wong. This is not a knock in the figure skating world. He's a little bit smaller and, you know, it makes those rotations on the ice a little bit easier, but he also kind of has some of that, natural athletic ability that lends itself to some of those highlight reel type plays that I think he might have. He might have the ability to quickly learn some new athletic maneuvers, and I'd like to get him on skates and see if I can if I could be right about that, but not till after the season because I wouldn't want to risk any further potential injury situation at this point of the year. Well, so yeah. I'd like to get Colton on the ice, but not right now. Yeah. We'll save that for later.
Yeah, because I don't think Mike Matheny needs any other reason to not play Colton Wong.
No.
that might be it. So, yeah, that's it. You're right. I could see that. I mean, as much as I know about this, which is none, I know Terry.
He's got a little bit of natural grace to his movements. I think he could pull it off.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm guessing we won't see, Jonathan Broxton out there.
Be a tougher task.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. There's interesting. That is an interesting question because we do talk about players crossing over to other sports or other, areas of life. And we try to stack that up, but I have never thought to, try to judge the merits of them going into figure skating. Imagine they have
a lot of footwork. It's a lot of athleticism. It's a lot of quick twitch muscle. A lot of the same things that you see Colton utilizing as a second baseman. So, that's where that's coming from. Well, I could be totally wrong. He might be a disaster on the ice and that's why he plays baseball, but it'd be worth an entertaining afternoon to say the least.
Well, and as you say that though, I have seen or heard of players. It may not be baseball players, although probably some, maybe some other sports too, of doing ballet, because of those, because they work some of the muscles, some of the different things that you need. Figure skating is just kind of a step up with that, a little bit step
there
up in
go.
Difficulty with the adding the ice skates to it. So who knows? Colton, he really enjoyed the Winter Classic, this year. So, you're taking the Hawaiian and putting him on the ice.
Here's the thing. I've been trying to figure out a way to get, figure skating competitions in Hawaii. So Colton, man, call me. Let's make this happen.
Let's work this out. All right. Well, another week in the books. Tara and I will be with you next week. We might. We don't promise anything. We might see a game or two or at least an at-bat or two this week coming up and try to be even better next week, but we don't promise anything. So for Tara Wellman, I'm Daniel Shoptaw. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under Podcasts and click Subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.